So last time we went over the first six drugs. We're going to go over seven more drugs today for the fundamentals must-know drug list. So the first one is lisinopril. Lisinopril, its class is ACE inhibitor. So it's going to inhibit ACE, which is angiotensin-converting enzyme. We'll talk a lot more in detail about that in next semester. But what you need to know for right now is that it causes vasodilation and it prevents vascular remodeling. Just say that. Prevents vascular remodeling. Now, the word vascular means vessel, and so remodeling, what's the three layers of an artery? The tunica, interna, externa, and media. Now, what's the media made up of? Muscle. So vascular remodeling is when arteries become more muscular. The heart can also become more muscular. And so ACE inhibitors will help prevent them becoming more muscular. We don't want our arteries looking like roid heads. Therapeutic uses: hypertension, heart failure, and prevention of kidney complications in diabetes mellitus, type 1 or type 2. Adverse effects: number one is hypotension, especially first dose hypertension. The very first time you give a person an ACE inhibitor, they have a much higher risk of having just like a very sudden drop. It can make a person dizzy and fall. So you really need to monitor the first time you give them that dose. You want to make sure that they don't fall. Can also cause chronic cough, hyperkalemia, because you hold on to potassium, and then angioedema. Angioedema is what type of reaction? Allergic reaction. What type? Type 1. So, type 1. So, go watch Hitch, and what he has angioedema. It can cause that. Typically, it happens in the lips. Interacts with other blood pressure drugs and drugs that affect or are affected by potassium levels. So the two big ones here are furosemide, or Lasix, and digoxin. We'll learn about those next semester. But you need to just say to yourself, furosemide and digoxin. Nursing actions: assess blood pressure, monitor potassium. Pretty simple. Next one is simvastatin, or Zocor, and in general, all statins. Now, how are you going to know that a drug is a statin? Good, it ends in statin. Now, the class, you really don't need to remember this class so much, because no one calls them this except posers. HMG, coenzyme A reductase inhibitor. We actually just call them statins. So, statins. The way they work is by inhibiting that enzyme, which all you need to know is it is the rate-limiting step in cholesterol production. So it's kind of like the weak link in making new cholesterol. So if we inhibit that, you're going to have less cholesterol around. So we use it to reduce the risk of myocardial infarction, because lowering cholesterol levels through statins, it's much more complicated than that, but for now it's good enough, will reduce risk of MI. Adverse effects include nausea, GI pain, muscle pain, rhabdomyolysis, yeah. Now, this is italicized. Why? Because it's life-threatening. It is not very common with most of the statins on the market right now. There is one that was pulled off the market because it caused quite a lot. So it is life-threatening, but it's not that common. And what it is, it's a breakdown of muscle, and muscles are primarily made up of proteins. The proteins clog up your kidneys, cause kidney failure, and you die. Well, that's what can happen. Can also cause memory loss. It's uncommon, but when you find someone who's got it, they're like really unhappy people. Interacts with fibrates, which are another type of cholesterol medication, and it increases the risk of rhabdo. So generally speaking, you should not give statins in combination with fibrates. Nursing actions, you want to give at night and monitor liver function tests. Some statins can cause liver damage. The ones that we The ones that we currently have on the market aren't so big a risk, but some of them can. So in general, monitor liver functions, but for simvastatin itself, it doesn't need it. Next drug, docosate sodium, also known as colase. This is a little red capsule. It's like a little reddish-orange capsule. It is a surfactant laxative, better known as a stool softener. What it does is it reduces the surface tension of water. Now, what does surface tension of water produce? No. Water drops. So, a water droplet can only get so small and before it starts pulling other droplets together to form a bigger droplet. Have you ever done that? Like playing with little water drops on a table? Now, if you put some soap on that, what happens to those water drops? They like spread out because you've broken the surface tension. So what it allows is allows smaller droplets to form, which in turn, those smaller droplets penetrate the stool, making it softer. Therapeutic uses, relieve constipation and prevent straining during defecation. So if you have a patient who's had some kind of rectal surgery, do you want them straining? No. So you can give them one of these drugs to prevent that straining. Adverse effects, loose stools. Interactions, no big ones to speak of, so don't need to remember any there. Nursing actions, monitor stool. Bisacodyl, also known as Dulcolax, is a stimulant laxative. What it does is it stimulates the bowel muscles to move faster, producing a bowel movement. Therapeutic uses, constipation. Adverse effects, abdominal pain and cramping, diarrhea. Interactions, no big ones to talk about. Nursing actions, monitor stools. Makes sense, right? Never give to a patient with a bowel, with a fecal impaction, because you can cause their bowel to break. Yeah, if you've got a big mass of feces that's blocking the bowel, and then you give something that makes it go, it's going to balloon up and poof. Now, that's nasty, right? Because now you've got nice feces on the inside of your clean peritoneum, and yeah, big problems. Patients die from that. Rectal suppository works in about 2 hours or less. So you need to make sure that you have the patient ready to go. Get up and go, or bedpan ready to go, so that you do not end up with a code brown. Yes. The PO usually works overnight. So you give it to them in the night and they have a morning surprise. Next one is magnesium hydroxide, better known as milk of magnesia. It's also in combination with aluminum hydroxide used in Maalox and Mylanta as an antacid. So its class is an osmotic laxative, but it also works as an antacid. Pulls water into the bowel, causing a watery stool. It also neutralizes acid in the stomach, and it's usually given in combination with aluminum in that case, because aluminum has the opposite side effects. It causes constipation. So you put the two together and you've got a nice balance. Therapeutic uses, constipation or dyspepsia, meaning indigestion. Adverse effects, abdominal pain, diarrhea. Interactions, affects absorption of some drugs. So because it's an antacid, it can actually bind with some drugs. And the biggest ones here are going to be drug like ciprofloxacin and certain antibiotics. Nursing actions, monitor renal function. Let me repeat that again. Monitor renal function. So before you give this drug to a person, you need to make sure they have good renal function before you give it to them. Because it's going to do is it's going to suck a whole bunch of fluid and electrolytes out with it. Also, if they don't have good renal function, the magnesium could become absorbed and then cause hypermagnesemia. Monitor stools. Monitor fluid status. Because if you're pulling all this water out of the blood, you can become patient can become dehydrated. Also, time administration of other medications that might be affected by the milk of magnesia. All right, we only have two to go. Aren't you glad? All right, next we have metformin. Metformin, better known as glucophage, is a biguanide. You don't really need to know that so much, but you do need to know that it's an oral hypoglycemic, which means it's a pill that lowers blood sugar. The way it works is by inhibiting liver production and secretion of glucose. It also enhances glucose uptake by other cells, so it makes insulin work better. So in the end, it lowers blood glucose levels. So we use it to lower blood glucose levels. But in what kind of patients? Type 2 diabetes. That's the important thing. Doesn't work for type 1, only for type 2. Adverse effects. Main ones are nausea and GI discomfort, which leads to weight loss, which in a lot of type 2 diabetes patients isn't such a bad thing. Toxicity can cause lactic acidosis. So, as a result, you are never ever going to give it to patients with heart failure or patients with renal failure because they are more at risk already of having lactic acidosis. What do you not see here in these adverse effects? What does the drug do? Lowers blood sugar. What do you not see here? Hypoglycemia. This drug by itself cannot cause hypoglycemia. So if you ever see that on the question where it asks you, does not cause hypoglycemia, don't be tricked. I'm sure there's a question somewhere on a test out there asking about that. Oh, and interacts with other hypoglycemic drugs. All right. Insulin, it's plural. We're going to try and break this down, make it really simple. So first thing is its class, it's a hormone. And it's a hypoglycemic, so it lowers blood sugar. The mechanism is it causes cellular uptake of glucose. Along with that, it also makes cells take up potassium. So they take up glucose primarily and a little bit of potassium. So what it does is it's going to lower blood glucose levels. Therapeutic uses are to lower glucose levels in type 1 and type 2 diabetes patients. Got it? So we can use this for type 1 or type 2. Metformin we could only use in type 2. We can also use it to lower potassium levels, but we have to give that IV. If you give it regular, it's not really going to affect potassium levels very much. The only time it's going to really affect potassium levels is in IV. Adverse effects. Number one, hypoglycemia. And in IV, it can cause hypokalemia. Interacts with other hypoglycemic drugs and beta blockers, because beta blockers block signs and symptoms of hypoglycemia. Nursing actions. Number one, monitor glucose. Number two, give food at the appropriate time. If you give a person glucose and then they don't eat, you're setting them up for hypoglycemia. Now, if you give a short-acting one, you probably need to give food very soon afterwards. If you give them a long-acting one, they're going to need food a couple hours later. Does that make sense? Okay. Monitor potassium levels in IV only patients, and then see the next page for some things. Do not interchange types. So if Lispro is ordered, you can't substitute for NPH. If NPH is ordered, you can't substitute for natural or regular insulin. You have to use the exact type of insulin that's been ordered. Also, rotate injection sites, because over time, if you inject the same place every time, you're going to cause fat problems in that area, and eventually it won't be absorbed properly anymore. So rotate injection sites. All right, here are our types that we need to know. First one is regular or natural insulin. It lasts about 4 hours, and it's the only one that we can use IV. And it's also the one that's used in insulin pumps. Lispro and Aspart work even faster than regular insulin. So basically you have to give them with food. So you don't give it to the patient until the food tray has actually arrived and the patient is beginning to eat. That's when you give the drug. Because sometimes in the hospital, the food tray is late coming up or the patient doesn't feel like eating or whatever it is. If the patient's not eating, you shouldn't be giving them Lispro or Aspart, because they'll start to become hypoglycemic very quickly after that. NPH, it's a medium-acting insulin. It lasts about 12 to 16 hours. And then glargine lasts about 24 hours. And the other thing is it has no peak. So most insulins, when you give them, the level goes up, and then it comes back down, kind of like a hill. When you give glargine, or it's also called Lantus, it's going to go up and be flat, 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 choop, down at the end. Well, it's better, yes. We'll talk about why next semester. And then the last one, oh, and the other thing is that Lantus cannot be mixed with other insulins. You can mix NPH with regular and give them in one shot. You can give NPH with Lispro or Aspart, mix them together and give them in one shot. You cannot give glargine mixed with anything. Because you only have to give one shot. A lot of times what we do is, you want to make sure the patient has blood sugar control throughout the whole day. So rather than giving them five or six shots, what you do is you give them a shot of regular plus NPH in the morning, and then they have a small peak for the regular, and then later on they have another peak for the NPH. That way you'll have to give them one shot instead of two. And then the last one is Exubera, which is inhaled insulin. There's an inhaler for it. And it's dosed in milligrams, not units. All other insulins are dosed in units. I think that's pretty much everything you need to know, or most of the things you need to know, for your must-know drug list tests. Once we get into the semester, we'll talk about these drugs in more detail. So your MedSurg 1 test can include drugs from the fundamentals list. So you're never supposed to forget these drugs. Right. There's a difference. Interchange means if Lispro is ordered, you can't use Aspart instead. But if you have Lispro and NPH ordered, you can mix those in the same syringe and give them at the same time. Does that make sense? Okay. All right, Right. On the test, it's only going to be Zocor or simvastatin. But what you need to know is that all the others work basically the same. So when you get to a hospital and you're giving atorvastatin, you should be able to look up in your head, okay, simvastatin, here's the things I was supposed to know about that. And you know almost everything there is to know about Lipitor or atorvastatin. And I did mention give it at night, right? Why is that? Close. Your liver makes cholesterol at night. So that's when you want to inhibit the production. All right, we're done.